It is incontrovertible as geometry in every enlightened community of mine.
In this community, the good sir, and in this sovereign state, the exact opposite happens to be the case. The law is very clear on this point, and we don't need your experts to tell us about the law that happens to already be on the books.
In other words, the court rules out any testimony on Charles Darwin's Origin of Species and Descent of Man.
The court so rules.
Court rule out expert testimony on a book known as the Holy Bible.
Any objections, Colonel Brady?
If the defense can advance their own case through the use of the Holy Scriptures, the prosecution will take no exception.
Good. Then I call to the stand one of the world's foremost experts on the Bible and its teachings. Matthew Harrison Brady.
What?
Your Honor.
He
is highly irregular. I've never heard of a case
Your Honor, this entire trial is unorthodox. But if the ways of right and justice will be served, I will take the stand. As I have all my life, for the living truth of the Scriptures.
Amen.
Oh, meager, swearing the witness.
It's all went for ourselves.
Am I correct, sir, in calling on you as an authority on the Bible?
I do not believe it is boastful of me to say that I've read the Bible as much as anything, man. I always try to live according to its precepts.
Only for you. Now I suppose you can quote me chapter and verse right straight through the King James Version, can't you?
There are many passages of Scripture I have committed to memory.
On the other hand, I don't suppose you've memorized many passages from Darwin's Origin of Species.
I am not in the least bit interested in the pagan hypothesis of that book.
Never read it?
And I never will.
Then how in perdition do you have the gall to whoop up this holy war against something you don't know anything about? How can you be so cocksure that the body of scientific knowledge systematized in the writings of Charles Darwin is in any way irreconcilable with the spirit of the book of Genesis?
Would you repeat that question again?
Let me put it this way. On page 17 of
Origin... Why is that the match, Your Honor? Colonel Brady has been called to the stand as an authority on the Bible. Now the gentleman from Chicago is using this as an opportunity to read into the record scientific information, which you, Your Honor, have previously ruled as irrelevant. Now, if he's going to examine Colonel Brady on the Bible, let him stick to the Bible, the Holy Bible, and nothing but the Bible.
All right, I get the Senate away. We'll play in your ballpark, Colonel. Now, let's get it straight, let's get it clear. This is the book you're an expert on.
That is correct.
Now tell me, do you believe that every word that's written in this book should be taken exactly as it's written?
Everything in the Bible should be accepted exactly as it is written there.
Now tell me, there's a place in here where Jonah is swallowed by a whale. Do you believe that actually happened?
As a matter of fact, the Bible does not say a whale. It says a big fish.
Matter of fact, it says
a great fish. But that's pretty much the same. What's your opinion on that?
I believe in a God who can make a whale and who can make a man and who can make them do as he pleases.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I seem to recollect a story about Joshua making the sun stand still. Now, as an expert, you tell me that's as true as the Jonah business, right? That's a pretty neat trick.
I do not question the miracles of the Lord, as do ye of little faith.
Amen.
Have you ever pondered what would happen naturally if the sun stood still?
I'll let you testify to that if I get you on the stand.
If they say that the sun stood still, that means they must have had a notion that the sun moves around the earth. Do you figure that's the way of things? Or don't you believe that the earth moves around the sun?
I have faith in the Bible.
Amen.
You don't have much faith in the solar system.
The sun stops.
Good. Now, if what you say factually happened, if Joshua halted the sun in the sky, that means the earth stopped spinning on its axis. Continents toppled over each other. Mountains flew out into space. And the earth, arrested in its orbit, shriveled to a cinder and plunged into the sun. How come they missed that tidbit?
They missed it because it didn't happen.
Well, it must have happened according to natural law. Or don't you believe in natural law, Colonel Brady? Would you ban Copernicus from the classroom along with Charles Darwin? Pass a law to wipe out all scientific development since Joshua, Revelations, period.
Natural law was born in the mind of God. He can change it, cancel it, use it as he pleases. It constantly amazes me that you apostles of science, for all your supposed reasoning and learning, fail to grasp that simple fact.
Listen to this. Genesis 4:16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife. Where the hell did she come from?
Who?
Mrs. Cain. If in the beginning there were only Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, where did this extra woman come from? Ever figured that out?
I'll let you agnostic scientists hunt for her.
Never bothered you?
Never tried to find out.
No. Figure someone pulled off another creation over in the next county.
The Bible says the Bible is enough.
Amen.
Oh, it frightens me to imagine the state of learning in this world if everyone had your thriving curiosity. This book goes into a lot of begats. Naphraxan begot Selah, and Selah begot Eber, and so on and so on. These pretty important folks?
Those are the generations of the holy men and women of the Bible.
Now, how do they go about all this begatting?
What do you mean?
I mean, the people begat in those days about the same way they get themselves begat today.
I believe the process is about the same. I don't think your scientists have improved it any.
In other words, these holy people were conceived and brought forth in the normal biological function known as sex. What's your opinion of now, I'm not asking you your opinion on sex as a husband or a father, or even as a presidential candidate. You're up here as an expert on the Bible. What's the biblical evaluation of sex?
It is considered original sin.
Amen.
What? And all these holy men and women were begot through original sin? All this sinning make them any less holy?
Your Honor, where is this leading? What does it have to do with the state versus Bertram Page?
And the bench must be satisfied that there is some reasoning behind the line
You ruled out all my witnesses. Now you at least must allow me to question the one witness you've left me in my own way.
Your Honor, I will endure Mr. Drummond's sneering and his disrespect. For he is advancing the cause of the prosecution by his contempt for all that is holy.
Jack!
On the ground, could it be there is something holy to the celebrated agnostic?
Yes! The individual he was mine. In a child's power to master the multiplication tables, there is more sanctity than in all your shouted amen, your holy holy. An idea is a greater monument than a cathedral. And the advance of man's knowledge is more of a miracle than any sticks turned to snakes or the parting of water. But are we now to stop this march of progress because Mr. Brady frightens us with a fable? Gentlemen, progress has never been a bargain. You've got to pay for it. Sometimes I think there's a man who stands behind a counter and says, all right, you can have a telephone, but you lose the right to privacy, the charm of distance. Madam, you may have the right to vote, but at a price. You lose the right to hide behind a petticoat or a powder puff. Sir, you may conquer the air, but the birds will lose their wonder, and the clouds will smell of gasoline. Darwin brought us to a place where we could look back and see the way from which we came. Before this view, this insight, this knowledge, we must abandon our faith in the pleasant poetry of Genesis.
We must not abandon faith. Faith is the most important thing.
Then why did God plague us with the power to think? Mr. Brady, why do you deny the one faculty which lifts man above all the other creatures on the earth, the power of his brain to reason? What other merit have we? The butterfly is more beautiful, the mosquito more prolific. The elephant is larger and the horse is stronger and swifter. Even the simple sponge is more durable. Or does the sponge stick?
I don't know. I'm a man, not a sponge.
Do you think a sponge stinks?
If the Lord wants it to think, it thinks.
Does a man have the same privileges as a sponge does?
No.
This man wishes to be accorded the same privileges as a sponge. He wishes.
Your client is wrong.
He's deluded. He's lost his way.
It's sad we are all gifted with your positive knowledge of right and wrong, Colonel Brady. How old do you think this rock is?
I'm more interested in the rock of ages than I am in the age of rock.
Dr. Page of Overland College tells me this rock is at least 10 million years old.
Well, Brady, you managed to slip in your scientific testimony after.
Look at this. These are the fossil remains of prehistoric marine creatures who lived in this very county, which died here millions of years ago when these very mountain ranges were submerged in water.
I know. The Bible gives us a very fine account of the flood. Your scientist is a little mixed up on his dates, though. That rock is no more than 6,000 years old.
How do you know?
A fine biblical scholar, Bishop Usher, has determined for us the exact date and hour of creation. It happened in 4004 B.C.
That's Bishop Usher's opinion?
It's not an opinion. It's literal fact, based on the generations of the Bible. As a matter of fact, Bishop Usher has decided that the Lord began creation on the 23rd of October in the year 4004 B.C. at 9 a.m.
That Eastern Standard Time? Or Rocky Mountain time. It couldn't have been daylight savings time, could it? For the Lord didn't create the sun until the fourth day.
The first day was it a 24-hour day?
The Bible says it was a day.
There was no way to measure it.
How do you know?
The Bible says it was a day.
A normal day, a little day, a 24-hour day.
I do not know.
What do you think?
I do not think.
Is it possible that the first day was 25 hours long?
There was no way to measure it, no way to tell.
Could it have been 25 hours?
It is possible.
Oh, then you interpret that the first day recorded in the book of Genesis could be of indeterminate length.
I mean to say that the Bible does not necessarily say it was a 24-hour day.
It could have been 30 hours, or a month, or a year, or 100 years,
or 10 million years.
I don't care. This is irrelevant, immaterial, and illegal. I demand to know the purpose of Mr. Brown's questioning. What is he trying to do?
I'll tell you what he's trying to do. He's trying to destroy everyone's faith in the Bible.
And in God.
Yeah, that's not true. I'm trying to stop you faith with the races.
And you know
how dare you destroy everyone's faith in the Bible?
The Bible is a book.
A good book, but not the only book.
The Bible is the revealed word of God. God spake to the man who wrote the Bible.
How do you know that God didn't speak to Charles Darwin?
Because God tells me to oppose the evil teachings of that man.
Oh, God speaks to you.
Yes.
He tells you exactly what's right and wrong.
Yes.
And you act accordingly.
Yes.
So you, Matthew Harrison Brady, through oratory legislation or whatever, pass along God's orders through the rest of the world.
Gentlemen, meet the prophet from Nebraska.
Isn't that the way it
takes?
God tells Brady what is wrong. To be against Brady is to be against God.
Each man is a free agent.
Then what is Bertram Cates doing in the Hillsboro jail?
What if Bert Cates had enough lung power and influence to railroad through the state legislature on a law that only Darwin could be talking into?
Ridiculous, sir. There's only one great truth in the world.
The gospel according to Brady. Brady, almighty.
Lord.
What if a lesser man, a Cates or a Darwin, had the audacity to think that God might speak to him? That an un-Brady thought might still be holy. Must men go to jail because of the self-appointed prophet?
Extend the testaments.
Let us have a book of Brady. We shall hex the Pentateuch and fit you in neatly between Numbers and Deuteronomy.
What? What? You all know what I believe. I believe in the truth. Book of Genesis! Exodus!
Your Honor,
Leviticus!
Excuse me, just a moment.
Numbers! Deuteronomy! Joshua!
Court is recessed until 10 o'clock.
Judges!
Congressman.
What's going to happen to
What do you think's gonna happen, Bert?
Do you think they'll send me to jail?
They could.
They don't ever let you see anybody from the outside, do they? I mean, you can just talk to visitors through a window like they do in the movies.
Not as bad as all that. When these people lit up this fire in this town, they didn't know it would light up the whole sky. But a lot of people's feet are getting burned. But you can't be too sure.
He seems sure. He seems to know what the bird is trying to be.
Nobody knows. Well, I've got a pretty good idea. When you've been a lawyer for as long as I have, 1,000 years or so, you get so you can smell the way a jury's thinking.
What are they thinking? Right now.
One of these days, I'm going to get myself an East case. An open and shut case. I got this friend up in Chicago. Big lawyer. God, how the money rolls in. And you know why? Because he never takes a case unless it's an easy one. Like a horse rider, a jockey who never takes a ride on a horse unless he's riding the favorite.
You sure picked a long shot this time, Mr. John.
Sometimes I think that law is like a racehorse. You ride like the fury just to end up back where you started. It's like a merry-go-round. Or a rocking horse, or a golden dancer.
Golden what?
That was my first long shot, Bert. Golden dancer. She was in the big side window of the department store in Waitman, Ohio. I used to stand out in front of the store and say, gee, if I had golden dancer, I'd have everything in the world that made any difference. You see, I was 7 years old and a very good judge of rocking horses. Golden dancer. She had a red mane and blue eyes, cold all over with big purple spots. And when that sun shone against her stirrups, she was a dazzling sight to see. But she was a week's wages for my father. So there was always that plate glass window between Golden Dancer and me. Now, let's see. It wasn't Christmas. Must have been my birthday. Woke up in the morning. There at the foot of my bed was Golden Dancer. My ma had scrimped on the groceries and my father had worked nights for months. Jumped into the saddle and I started to rock. And it broke. Split right in two. Wood was rotten and it was put together with spit and sealing wax. All shine and no substance. Bert, whenever you see something that's bright and shining, all perfect seeming, gold with purple spots, you look behind that paint. And if it's a lie, you show it up for what it's worth.
I think this is the best place for it, if it's all right with you, Your Honor.
I don't know of any precedent for such a thing.
Well, you understand, sir, that we're making history here today. This is the first time that a public event has ever been broadcast.
Well, I'll allow it, but see that it doesn't interfere with the business of the court.
Merle, Marco, I got to talk to you over here. This wire just came in. The boys over at the state capitol are getting kind of worried about the way things are going. The newspapers all over and everything are making such a fuss. You know, November ain't far off. And it don't do none of us no good to have the voters go getting all riled up. Might not be a bad idea if you just let things simmer down. Just try and quiet it down as best you can.
Testing, testing.
Hey, what's that?
An enunciator.
You mean they're gonna broadcast?
Yes, we have a direct wire to WGN Chicago. And as soon as that jury comes in, we'll announce the verdict.
Really? God, this is going to break down a lot of walls.
You're not supposed to say God over the radio.
Well, I don't know.
You're not supposed to say
God. Is this going to be a parent source of amusement? Can one speak into the side of this machine?
Yes, sir. There's
signal me while I'm speaking if my voice does not have enough projection for your radio operator.
Everybody rise. The court will reconvene in the case of the State versus Bertram Case.
What do you think? Can you tell from their faces?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Harry Estabrook speaking to you from the courthouse in Hillsborough, scene of the famous Hillsborough Mummy trial case. The jury is just returning to the courtroom to render its verdict. And the judge has just taken the bench, and in the next few minutes, we shall know whether Bertram Case will be found innocent.
Chautauqua Kids or a political campaign.
Our business at Hillsborough is completed. The defense holds that the court shall be adjourned.
But I have a few remarks.
And, sir, we are very much interested in hearing them, but Colonel Drummond's point is well taken. However, I'm sure everyone will wish to remain after court is adjourned to hear Colonel Brady's fine speech. Now, this seems to conclude the business of the court, and I hereby declare this court to be adjourned, sine die.
Eskimo pies, get your Eskimo pies.
Eskimo pies.
The ladies and gentlemen, quiet in the boardroom, please. Colonel Brady wishes to address.
Eskimo pies?
Please stay put. I ain't sure, but the whole thing's over.
Eskimo pies, who offered Eskimo pies?
Please, Colonel Brady wishes to address us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Eskimo pies?
My friends, friends of the unseen audience, from the hallowed hills of sacred Sinai, in the days of remotest antiquity, came the law, which has been our shield and our bulwark. Age upon age, men have looked to that law as they have looked to the hills. From whence did
Colonel Brady, would you point more in the direction of the enunciator, please?
The hills, from whence cometh our strength. And here, here in this courtroom, we are seen vindicated.
Ladies and gentlemen, our program director advises us that our time here is completed. The Harry Estabrook speaking. We return you now to our studios and matinee musicale.
From the hallowed hills of sacred.
Hey!